All right, if you would, stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word. We're going to read Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to start with verse 20, Hebrews 13, verse 20 through 25. At the beginning of the year last year, we talked about growing stronger, and we used Hebrews chapter 13 as kind of the grid for the messages. I want to read the last part of this chapter, then we'll go back through verses 1. It says, "Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. But I urge you, brethren, bear with this word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. Take notice that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom, if he comes soon, I will see you. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you, and grace be with you all." Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we get into your word today, that you will allow us to hear from you. God, may our ears be cleared and our minds receive what you have to say for us today. Lord, as we look at this last message in 2015, and we reflect on our walk with you, Lord, speak to us. Help us to see where we have been and how we have grown. And Lord, areas that we still need to grow in. Help me to preach plain and clear, so plain that a child could understand today. Out of all the people in the house this morning, I understand the judgment of my life in rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, and his name that I preach. Amen. So if you look at Hebrews chapter 13, starting in verse 1, today we're going to dissect, we're going to look at this text, and it's going to be a reflective message today. So we're going to kind of let God do some work on us, okay? It's going to be our max out day. Any of y'all have ever lifted weights and you have max out day? It's when you've been pumping, you've been doing bench press, you know, and you're going to max out. You're going to see what's the maximum amount of weight you can get up that day. And whatever you hit, it's like, boom, that's where I maxed out. And we're going to allow the Lord to use this text and these scriptures to test us to see how we have grown. Like I said, at the beginning of the year, we looked at growing stronger. And I used Hebrews chapter 13 as the grid to where I kind of based the messages and the sermon series out of. And we're going to see how well we've done. We stress seven expressions of faith here at this church that we believe that as a church, if we engage in these heavenly seven purposes that we see in the book of Acts, if we engage them as a church, we will be a healthy church. If we engage all of those seven individually, we will be a healthy Christian. We don't want to just do one or two. We want to engage in all seven and get them going into our lives. Then we will be a healthy, maturing, growing Christian. And that's what we see. We see these specifically in Hebrews 13 as well as some other areas as well. So we'll start with verse 1. It says, "Let love of the brethren continue." Let's just stop right there. That's fellowship. That is being connected to a church body and being a healthy, functioning church member. Let love of the brethren continue, that we are to love one another, that we are to encourage one another, that we are to build one another up. And we do that best when we come together. You can't encourage someone if you're never around people, right? It's hard to encourage somebody when you're just at the lake by yourself worshiping God. You can't encourage the brethren. You can't encourage one another. You can't love one another. You can't share with one another. You can't pray with one another. And so, are you a committed, healthy, functioning church member? Do you love your brothers and sisters in Christ? How well do you do that? How well have you done this year? Have you prayed for each other? Have you encouraged each other? Or have you complained about each other? Have you talked about one another? Huh? Because you got, let's go back to our report card days. You got A, being the best. F, not being the best, right? And you're on a grading scale, how well did you love one another? Because we are to love one another. Now, that doesn't always mean that we're going to like one another all the time. There's going to be times when we get on each other's nerves, amen? How many of y'all have a family? How many of y'all are in a family? Do y'all ever fight amongst your family? Do y'all ever get on each other's nerves as a family? I mean, just even in your just immediate family, you can, right? And so sometimes that happens, but the love of the brethren means that we don't allow the of each other to talk about each other, to put each other down, to trash each other, but yet to fight, to go through those moments and build one another up, encourage one another, and yet love each other in spite of ourselves. How many of y'all are ever hard to love? Sometimes I'm hard to love, right? Michelle will tell you that I'm hard to love sometimes, but she loves me anyway. Amen. I've got a great wife. She's wonderful. How well have you done as a church member of loving one another? Verse 2 says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. This is serving. This is ministering. This is outreach. This is being out there and making an impact on other people's lives. And the thing is that sometimes when you bless somebody, you don't know, it could be an angel. Jesus, in fact, said, when you do it to the least of these, you've done it to me. And so when we serve others, when we have an outreach ministry and we bless other people in the name of Jesus, it's as if we're doing it to him. And so we have outreach that happens. You have that outreach in your lives. Hopefully you're individually going out there making an impact and blessing other people's lives. We do that as a church. I want to thank everybody who helps in the outreach ministries that go out and show the love of Jesus in very real practical ways. You know, thanks to the ladies that Kathy that does the food and the clothing closet. We get a lot of meals put together and put a lot of clothes to people in the name of Jesus. Right? A lot of care meals go out to folks that's been sick or in the hospital or whatever. Some of you, like, you go out there and you just bless people with food. You send cards out to people. You minister, you outreach. We spend thousands every year in outreach of blessing people in our community, in our surrounding areas, in America. We bless the girls in Guatemala. All kinds of things. Our giving, when you give of your tithes and offerings, we give a portion of our offerings to the cooperative program, which goes to send missionaries throughout the whole entire world. So what you're doing has an impact not only in Mount Sterling and not only in the state of Kentucky, but globally. And we get to be a part of that. Hopefully some of you, maybe throughout the year, God's laid it on your heart just to bless somebody, and you did it. How well do you serve and minister to those? We have folks that go to the prisons and visit. So there's many types of outreach that happens. And how well are you serving, ministering to those who are hurting? Verse 3, marriage is to be held in honor among all. The marriage bed is to be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. This is one of the first sermon series of 2015. We talked about marriage, what marriage is, and how we are to honor marriage, and how we are to be the husbands and the wives that God has called us to be. And how has your marriage been? Did it grow stronger? Husbands, did you become a stronger, healthier husband? Did you become a more godly husband this year? Wives, did you become a more godly wife? Did you love and honor your husband? These are good questions we got to ask ourselves, isn't it? And have we grown stronger in that area? Have we set for an example to our kids, if you have kids in the family, of what a good, godly marriage looks like? You know, you think, well, depends on what day you ask me that question. Amen. Like, have you honored, men, have you been that godly example? I pray that your eye has been for your wife and your wife only. And wives, that you've had your heart and your affection, your attention has been for your husband and your husband only. And you've had healthy, strong marriages. Maybe some of you went through some rocky places this year, and God brought you through it? How has your marriage grown stronger? Verse 5, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid, what will man do to me? How have you handled money this year? Did you grow stronger in that area? Were you financially responsible this year? Did you steward your money the way that God would have you steward your money? How was your tithes and offerings this year? You're like, well, I gave a few dollars, you know, when I had it. Or did you say, no, I'm going to give to the Lord how he says to give? Where are you? How well are you doing in that? Do you give a tenth? Or are you below that? Where are you? For many years at the beginning stage, we tithed off our net. And then several years ago, we became gross tithers, you know. But we started at the net. So where are you at? See, I think that tithing really should be the floor of our giving. Because the Bible calls us to sacrificial giving. It calls us to generous giving. And so really the giving that the Bible talks about is a giving that really hurts. Many people can give a tithe and it not affect them one bit, right? But we are to bring our tithe. So let me ask you this. Where are you? Are you at 3%? 4%? And how can you grow stronger? Can you supersize it next year? Right? I mean, how many of y'all go to McDonald's? They want to supersize, you know, supersize your fries, supersize it. Maybe you bump it up a couple of percentage points and you work towards becoming not a tither, shouldn't be our goal. Our goal should be to become a generous giver because the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. And the Greek word for cheerful, you know what it is? It's hilarios. It's where we get our word hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver. Yeah, whoa, it's time to give. Yay, woohoo, yay. You know, not a bunch of Scrooge fish like, well, I'm not giving. I don't like what they're doing, so I'm not giving. It's not about that. It's about being a generous giver. Where are you on that? How well are you doing? Grade yourself. Let the Lord grade you on that. Look at verse 7. Remember those who lead you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. I won't labor on this a long time because we'll hit this on another point. But when Paul would always encourage them to follow his example, it wasn't like Paul was trying to say, hey, follow me. He was always in the context of follow me as I follow the Lord. And so you never follow a leader, you never follow a pastor per se. You don't follow me, but follow me as I follow Jesus. And as I follow Jesus, follow me following Jesus. Don't follow me, don't follow a pastor, don't follow a teacher. Follow the conduct of them as they follow Jesus. That's what you follow. It's honoring. Verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods through which those who are so occupied were not benefited. This is learning your faith. Learning. How well are you reading your Bible? Is the Bible a daily part of your life or is it an afterthought? Is your quiet time a priority for you? Is it something that you do? Is it something that you take time 15, 20 minutes a day to be still, read from God's word, take time to pray, to worship him and hear from him? Are you having a devotional life with Christ? Or are you believing the lie of Satan and you're saying, man, I'm just too busy. I'm too busy. I'm too busy to pray. I'm too busy to read my Bible. I'm too busy. I mean, y'all ever hear that voice pop in your head? Anybody? Does anybody hear that? I'm too busy. Oh, I'm just too busy. I'm too busy. I'm too busy. I'm too busy. That's the lie of Satan. I'm too busy. Here's the truth. Instead of it being, well, I'm too busy. I'm too busy. I'm too busy. Here's the reality. It's, I'm too lazy. I'm too lazy. I'm too lazy. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good, okay? Oh. Right? Because we would rather do this than this. And so it's not that we're too busy, it's just that it's not a priority like it needs to be. So how well has your Bible reading, how well is being part of a small group environment, how well is being part of daily Bible study, how well have you been doing at making sure that your quiet time, your time with God is protected? It says, we have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as an offering for sin are burned outside the camp. He's talking about the old order. He's comparing the greatness that we have as Christians opposed to what Jews have in their temple sacrifices. He says, therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. The author of Hebrews wants us to know that our purpose in life isn't for this world. We don't live for this world. It's nothing to do with this world. There is a lasting city that we're going to. There is an eternal kingdom. Jesus is coming. He is the Messiah. He will rule. He will reign. He will bring his new kingdom. And we live for an eternal city. It's an amazing place to be. And so therefore, we should want to invite as many people as we can to come join us. Amen. Have you all been to a vacation that you just really loved, and you came back and you told somebody about it? Anybody? Raise your hand if that's happened to you. How many of y'all have ever recommended going to a place that you went before? Okay, right. I mean, so like, it's exciting if you go to a place like we. One time I've had the experience of going to a place where you could get on a beach and you could go out into the water and actually see through the water, right? I mean, you could actually see the fish swimming. It was like, whoa, so cool. I didn't know the water could be that clear because, you know, I've always been to this Myrtle Beach. And you go to Myrtle Beach, you step in there, and you look down, and, well, you can't see nothing, right? You can't see through that water. And so you go, and it's like, whoa, this is amazing. You know, I can see, look, I can see that color fish, and here comes this stingray coming right at me. Oh, you know, forget it. Anyway, that was your time to learn. And it's so exciting. And you know, you're like, you come back, you're like, man, you've got to go to this place. Man, it was so cool, blah, 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 and you know that. Well, I'm telling you, there is an eternal city, and there is a king named Jesus. And there's going to be no more death, no more dying, no more pain, no more suffering. It's going to be a great place. Salvation is wonderful. My sins are forgiven. I've been given a new life, a new hope. It's an amazing place. I'm glad I'm going. I want you to go too. Let's invite some people to come with us. What do you think? I don't want to just get to heaven and have my friends not be there. I want as many people as I can to come and know the salvation of God and experience his grace and goodness. I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Why do I want to hog it all for myself? Huh? There's other people that we need to go out there and invite to come and hear and see that Jesus is King. Inviting others. Verse 15, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his praise, to his name. Worship. How well do you worship? Now, we worship here on Sunday morning, and that's a great thing. Our life ought to be a lifestyle of worship. But when we come into God's house together with God's people, are you coming to the house to worship? Do you come in with the attitude that I get to come in and I get to celebrate Jesus with one another and I get to lift his name up and I'm going to sing praises to his name? He's my God. He's my King. And I might not sing well, but I'll sing. Hopefully they play loud enough so nobody can hear me, but I'm singing and I'm worshiping and I'm going to express my love to him and I'm going to hear from him during the message. I'm going to allow the word of God to speak to me. And I'm going to the house of the Lord with a joyful heart. I'll be like David and said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Is that your attitude? Or do you come in and I go, well, it's Sunday. I guess I got to go to church. Or do you come in and say, I'm glad I get to be. This is the first day of the week. I don't know any better way to start your week off than with the Lord. Huh? This is getting your priorities right. This is the first day of the week. I'm letting Jesus have the first day of the week. He's having the first fruits of my offerings. He's getting the first and the best of everything that I have. I'm bringing it to you, Lord. I'm going to worship you. Amen. How well have you been worshiping? Verse 16, and do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. This is another area of service. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls, as though who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. This is just being able to understand authority and to honor those in positions of leadership. And, you know, we talked about the series called Church, and what church is, and you know, that Jesus is the head of his church. He leads the church, but he places leaders for the good of his church. And you can either make my job, John's job, and other those who lead, another, you can either make it a blessing or you can make it a burden, right? And I just want to say this. I want to thank you as a whole, overall majority of this church, you make it a blessing to pastor here, right? I mean, I want to thank you for that. Yeah, there's only a few burden, but you make it a blessing because you can either come and you can be complaining and griping and arguing and everything that goes on, or you can be someone that brings blessing and says, you know what? Hey, pastor, man, this, you know, God's laid this on my heart. He's gifted me to do this, and whatever you need me to do, you know, I just want to be a hand. So I just want to be that ear. I just want to be the part God's made me to be, and I'll do that. No matter what it is, you know. No matter if it's just cleaning the church on Sunday after church, right, Mike? He's been with us ever since day one, and he's on the leadership team, and he can't get out of the clean team. He can't graduate out of that. But his heart is like, whatever I need to do, it don't matter. I'll do whatever I need to do. Some of you pray for us, and some of you parents of the youth, you need to get behind John and pray for him and help him and be there and say, whatever you need us to do for the youth, I'll do it. Rather than going, well, I tell you, I can't believe that. If you do that, man, it's misery, right? That's what the Bible says. You can either make it a blessing or you can make it a burden. You can get behind and say, man, I'm praying, we're here. And then if you've got other thoughts and say, hey, you know, have you ever thought about us doing this? Oh, yeah, that sounds great. There's two constants in this church. Jesus, constant. Never going to change. But change is also a constant. We don't always do things the same way all the time at this church. You know? We were a church start, so we had the privilege of no one being able to say, well, we've never done it this way before. Because, well, it was all new. But as we're starting to get some age, and it's, we haven't done that. Well, we're going to try some. We're always going to try some new things, different ways. Amen? Some work, some don't work. Some work for a while, then some need to be buried. Just this is the way it is. But how well do you support those who lead? Verse 18, he says, pray for us. For we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. And I urge you all the more to do this so that I may be restored to you the sooner. He's asking for prayer. We have to be a church that prays. I need your prayers. John needs your prayers. Our family needs your prayers. We need to be praying for you. We need to be praying for one another. You need to be praying for each other. You need to be praying for us, for each other, everyone in our church. We need to be praying for the schools in our counties, our officers, our firefighters, the people that work at the hospitals, our teachers, our, you know, every community person. And we need to pray for our whole community. Lifting each other up in prayer, lifting up the needs of what God needs to do here among us. We need to be praying people. Amen? How well is your prayer life? Is it just every once in a while I shoot up a prayer? Or are you praying specifically for God to move in areas in your life? To kind of give you a little bit of some successes of what we've been able to do. What God's been able to do through the faithfulness is this year we've had 70 people profess their faith through believers' baptism. 70 people, yeah. And there's going to be a young lady in the third service, so it'll be 71. 71 people who have said yes to the grace of the Lord, said yes to I want to follow Jesus, and followed him in obedience to believers' baptism. Now, here's what I get a lot. You know, I hear this. I hear rumors out there. Well, yeah, Living Water, they're an evangelistic church. But they're not a discipling church. And what I want to say is this. If a discipling church baptizes 7 people a year, I don't want that discipleship program. They can keep that program, because discipleship is not just people sitting around a circle talking about the Bible. That's not discipleship. Discipleship is not a group of people just sitting in a chair listening to the Bible being taught. That's not discipleship. That's just one small aspect of discipleship. Discipleship is much broader than that. Discipleship means that a person becomes a true worshiper of God. It means that a person really develops in their prayer life. It means that a person really develops a heart of a servant. It means that a person really develops the heart to give, okay? If you don't give, don't tell me you're mature, okay? A heart of a disciple is someone that loves the church that they're a part of and supports it and prays for that church and lifts up the ministries in that church. That's discipleship. Discipleship is not just going through a particular study. That's just one small piece of the pie. And so what we've tried to do is we are trying to get our learning environments to get better and better. We want to grow stronger in that. So a couple years ago, we were more systematic in our class 101, 201, 301, and 401 class. So we have class 101 that we challenge people to go through. In class 101, people learn what it truly means to be a believer. I think that's important. What about you? I think that's key to discipleship. They learn what it means to be a true Christian. They learn what baptism's about. And they learn what the Lord's Supper's about. They also learn what the vision, purpose, and mission of Living Water Church is about. I think that's important. In class 201, guess what they learn there? They learn the disciple habits that they need to grow in their spiritual walk. They learn how to develop the seven purposes of the church for themselves, how to pray, how to read their Bible, how to study their Bible, how to give, how to be a part of a church, how to serve. You learn all the necessary habits of what it means to be a fruit-bearing disciple. I think that's important, don't you? I think that's a great discipleship process. Step three, guess what they learn? They learn the importance of spiritual gifts, how God has gifted them, how God has equipped them, that they understand and we understand that we are all a part of the body of Christ. Not one of us is the body of Christ, but all of us make up different parts of the body of Christ, and that when all of the parts do their job, it becomes a healthy functioning church, just like your particular body. When all of the body parts on your body are working properly, you have a functional, healthy body. Amen? But when something goes wrong, you know, it's bad, right? It's a bad deal. And so that's what 301 teaches. Class 401 teaches how to share the gospel, how to be a global-minded Christian, what it means and how to build and share their testimony, why our focus ought to be the focus of Jesus, why it ought to matter to us that people hear the gospel, not just in our particular county, but worldwide. And they learn the importance of what it means to be a global-minded believer who follows Jesus. I think that's a really good place to begin. What do you think? We have 50 currently that's taking class 101 that's not yet went to class 201. There's 28 that's went through 101 and 201. There's 28 at 201 that's not yet taken 301. There's 13 in the 301 that they've made it to 301, but they haven't went to 401 yet. And we've had 59 people complete all four classes. 59 people have completed all four classes. And so at the end of the classes, you know, we tell them that we're going to recognize them in a service, and we've got certificates and stuff. And so we're going to take time right now, just a moment, to recognize and honor them. And so when I call your name, if you would come up and stand up here, and we'll get this. Randy and Kenitha Vance, if you'll come up here. Lucy Payne, and I've got Niels. I had to give him somebody else because I wasn't prepared for him to be in the first service. So I will give you his to give to him. How's that sound? Does that work? And Randy, Kenitha, if you'll just stand right here just for a moment. Caitlin and Maggie Ring, if you'd come up here, please. Allie Lambert, if you'd come up here, please.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Dina. Shelly and Tony Slagle. Frank and Patty Moore. And if you're here and I didn't scan and see you, is there anybody that's done the 401 that hadn't received their things? I tried to scan as best I could and get names. All right, would you give these folks a big round of applause? Amen. Now, I think, you know, Dina, you just recently gave your life to Jesus, baptized a couple years ago, right? And so Tony and Shelly, they were too. And so it's encouraging to see you all get involved in these steps, and it's encouraging to see all you all finish that out. Thank you so much for completing that. Amen. Now, my word of caution to you here, now this. Just because you completed those classes doesn't mean you're automatically a mature disciple, right? Okay? I'm glad you finished them, and I want to encourage everybody to go through it, but that doesn't automatically, it's like, oh, I got my pen, now I'm automatically mature. No. Because the Bible studies and the small groups only give you the tools. It only provides the environment for you to grow. It doesn't cause you to grow. You got to have a heart to want to grow. That's just like baptism. It's important, but it doesn't save you because it's a heart change that matters. There's no class that you can take that when you complete it, you're like, super saint. You know, I graduated from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville. Got my Master's of Divinity. Got my diploma. And it didn't make me super saint. It gave me tools and it equipped me for what I needed for ministry. But it didn't make me mature. Do you get it? You've got to take what it is and you've got to let God work in your heart. You've got to let Him move and speak. It comes from the inside and out. But I'm thankful for our Wednesday night small groups that we have and our Sunday night small groups that we have. And we did a Parenting by Grace this past year on Sunday night. And Chris taught a How to Study the Bible, a three weeks, of how to study the Bible. And we went through a couple of different Bible study methods. And so, man, thank you all for that. But these are just tools to help us become mature. Amen? So how have you grown stronger? What areas have you done well in? What areas have you not done well in? Let God evaluate that. And what do you do about it? Well, I'm going to give you next year's theme already. I'm not going to make you wait till next year. You all got some bracelets maybe, or if you didn't, you'll get some as you go out. Next year's theme is going to be called Next Step. Next Step. What's my next step going to be? What's my next step? We are going to spend a year going through the Gospels, and we're going to journey with Jesus. And we're going to journey with Him, and we're going to learn and read and study about His life, and we're going to walk with Jesus, and we're going to ask and allow the Holy Spirit to ask us and say, and give Him the permission to tell us, here's your next step. And then when He tells us what our next step is, we're going to step into it. You see, Zacchaeus' next step was to come down the tree. The rich young ruler's next step was to give everything he had and follow Jesus. One was willing to take the next step, one wasn't. I want to be the person that takes the next step. What about you? That's going to be a next step. It's going to be different for everybody. He's going to call you, He's going to poke you on the heart, and He's going to say, here's what I want you to do, here's your next step. And the question we're going to ask is, will we step into it? Because a journey with Jesus is one step at a time. One step at a time. We walk with Christ one step at a time. And as we follow Him in obedience and take the next step, the next step, the next step, the next step, we look back and we think, wow, what an amazing life this has been following Jesus as Lord. Amen. My next step is this. And I've been talking about praying. I mean, I'm just battling through this because I hesitate to even announce this and ask you all to come, some of you to come and come behind me because I just, whoa. But God's called. My next step is to do a 40-day fast. Not completely. No food for the 40 days. But a significant fast. And the reason why I tell you this is not because I want you to know I'm going to do this. It's because if I begin losing weight, I don't want you thinking, what in the world is happening to Pastor? Something must be wrong with him. He must be sick. And then rumors get started that I've got some problem, disease. That's one reason. The second reason is this. I'm going to ask 40 people, if you will, to fast one day during that 40 days with me. I'm not asking anybody to do 40 days with me. I'm asking if you would do one day during that 40 days with me. Okay? I've got some papers up here, and if there's a date and time you'd want to do that somebody else has already put their name on, just put your name underneath that. If you'll put your name and email on there, I will be sending out an email to let you know some things to be praying for. I want you to join me as we pray. I believe that our nation needs prayer. I believe that our churches in general in our nation need prayer. And I believe that 2016 can become an important year that we need to be walking close with Jesus in. And we're going to do it step by step. One step at a time. What's the next step? And we're going to follow Jesus. And we're going to walk with him. And we're going to do what he's called us to do. So what's your next step going to be? When you all begin and we close out this year, you know, I want your, if you make New Year's resolutions, if you think about what you want to do, please put some significance behind it that is God-centered. What is it that God wants you to do? Where's he calling you? How's he leading you? And take that next step with him. What do you think? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for an opportunity to gather with a bunch of people who loves you. And Lord, there's some folks here today that they may not have entered a relationship with you yet, but they're here because they sense that you're here, and they really don't know what it means to give their life to you, but they're on the verge of taking that next step and just following you. And so, Lord, I'd pray for that man, that woman that's here today, that they're wrestling inside themselves with coming to faith in you. And Lord, would you just speak to their heart and call them to come? Father, those of us who know you and love you and we're your children, I pray that as we close this year out, we look towards the new year, that we will dive into your word and that we will walk in the gospels and that we will become the followers that we're called to be and that we will take that next step with you. Wherever you call us, whatever you tell us to do, that we'll take that next step and we will walk close with you. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's respond. Let's come.